Realty Nation. It's your host, Avi Golhar. Welcome to the Think Realty podcast. This show is for you, the investor that's interested in learning more about multifamily investing. Now, a lot of people ask me, hey, Avi, do you think that I should start investing in multifamily day one? Should I go from wholesaling to flipping to rentals and then to multifamily? To which I say, are you freaking kidding me? No, you don't need to do any of that. Frankly, you can go right to multifamily, right? All comes down to your investing personality, genius. But in order to figure that out, we're speaking with the modern day Neo, the guy that understands that the matrix can be bent to his will. He's the guy behind the guy. His name's Jerome Myers. You can check him out at myersmethods.com, and he's unlocked the secrets of the matrix to investing in multifamily real estate to make you the generational wealth that you deserve. I think Morpheus said that in The Actual Matrix in 1999. I remember that was a movie that I wanted to go watch, but my dad's like, no, it was R-rated. And I was in the ninth grade, but I was too busy building like a computer software consulting business. He's like, no, what are you doing? You go make the money. And then I finally saw it 5 years later in college. I'm like, and now I'm wasting time. This podcast is brought to you by the Think Realty Hybrid Conference and Expo in Houston, March 26th through the 27th. Set your sights on making 2021 a success with more knowledge and know-how by learning and networking with top-tier investing pros. For a limited time, we're giving you a buy one, get one deal. No, we're not. We are? I guess so. Must be reading this right. Register for two tickets and enter the code podcast at checkout to receive the special pricing. Really, I think the code should say, I love Avi, but I guess the code is podcast. So I guess throw in the code podcast by visiting www.thinkrealty.com/Houston for more information. Jerome, welcome to the show, man. I'm excited to talk to you about the multifamily stuff. Should be good.
I love Avi.
See, that makes sense. Okay. You know, you can't bloat my head that much. All right. So I appreciate it, though. Give us a little background. Who are you? What you do? And we'll jump into the meat of things here.
Yeah, man. We buy multifamily properties. I'm a corporate America dropout. I built a $20 million division for a Fortune 550. And I decided after laying people off 2 years in a row that enough was enough. And I was going to go build my own business. And so we tried knocking on 10 different bank doors. They all told us no. And eventually, in a roundabout way, we got our first deal done. And then the bank started calling me. And we took those relationships and went and did some stuff in Greensboro, North Carolina. And we're just thrilled to be here. We're coming to the conference. And we are going to be on an airplane to go to the conference for the first time for the Think Realty.
Nice. Man, that's going to be fun. It depends on which airline you're flying. If you're flying Spirit, then, I mean, I would have an issue with that. But, you know, just stay safe for me. That would be helpful.
I think we have a ticket for American.
Hey, even better. Okay. American, Delta, perfect. Okay. American and Delta do not sponsor this podcast. Let's talk through the multifamily industry and where your feelings were last year during COVID, and then what your feelings are for 2021. We had you on recently, I think over the last couple of months, and we shared some trends. Are those trends still true? Are you still thinking that there's opportunity this year coming off of last year? Are you like, well, wait a minute, I want to be cash heavy going into 2022? I've been hearing a lot of these things, ideas on Reddit, on some of the Google groups I'm a part of, on some of these private chats I'm a part of, and there are folks that are like, well, I kind of want to deploy my cash, but I kind of want to like not, because there could be opportunity later down the road. So help me figure that out while I go take my stress medication.
Yeah, so if I had a crystal ball, if I truly was Morpheus, then I do believe that I would tell folks that it's the time to buy, and it's the time to buy even more is coming soon. I think people are going to run out of cash, and when they run out of cash, they're going to have to sell their deals. I think all those COVID discounts that people were looking for last year did not happen. In fact, I think prices went up some more. And I think now with the eviction moratoriums and maybe the lack of another influx of cash from a stimulus, it's going to put people in a pinch and they're not going to be able to pay their rent. People not paying their rent creates a pinch for the people who own the property who have to pay mortgages and other expenses. And so there's but so long that the people who own the properties can go without having the income to support the property. And so I'm looking for deals where people aren't completely distressed and desperate, but know that things could continue to get bad and we can come in, grab the property, bring an influx of cash to make sure we can ride through the storm and have a really valuable property on the backside. So I think that there is an opportunity to buy, and I think there will be more opportunities to buy as the year progresses.
So you're going to be on the State of the Multifamily Industry panel at the Think Realty event in Houston, March 26th to the 27th. Give us a little insight into that. Do you have any gold nuggets that you can drop today, or are we going to have to tune in that day, either in person or virtually, to hear some of these gold nuggets about the multifamily industry? Maybe some secret sauce on the corporate dropout to $1 million multifamily genius story. How did that happen? What are some things you'll be talking about on that panel?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to talk about whatever the moderator lets me talk about. But, you know, we're going to share our story because we love to share our story. We're going to talk about our strategy because I think everybody's talking syndication and nobody's talking joint venture. And we like joint ventures over syndications. So we'll be talking about that and applying pressure to the other panelists and asking them about their approach. Here's the thing. If you want to get a multifamily, you're not a multifamily, and you know that you want to be an active operator, learning while you earn as a passive investor is not the most direct way to get that experience. And so I love to beat that drum. It makes the hair on the arms of syndicators stand up because that's part of their pitch to get people to lock their money away in their deal for 3 to 5 years while they continue to earn money. And everybody should earn money. It's just a matter of whether or not you're completely transparent about what you're doing and what the best path is for that person to get what they actually want.
So you talk about this concept of not chasing Moby Dick on the first deal. And there are a lot of folks that chase Moby Dick on the first deal. Why does that happen? Is it just shiny object syndrome? Is it like, here, I want this and that, and that I just can't pick. Why do people do that?
Moby Dick, right? So if Moby you guys Dick. Don't know who Moby Dick is, it's the big whale, right? Captain Ahab gets his little boat and he's chasing this great white whale. Look, the people who told you that you can get rich overnight in real estate tell you to go buy a $10 million deal so you can get this huge acquisition fee of a few a few hundred thousand dollars. And if you do that, then it justifies spending the $30,000 to $50,000 on their education program. And I tell people, no, don't do that, because one, Moby Dick is kind of one of a kind, right? Instead, I want you to go get some tuna in your boat. You think you're probably better positioned. You've got the right accoutrements. I got that word from Logan Freeman. You got the right accoutrements to go out and be successful at catching some tuna, bring them back to the dock. And then I don't know if you've ever been deep sea fishing, but if you have, you know that the skipper takes it out. And the first mate takes it out and they lay all of your fish down on the dock. And everybody who's there, they're watching to see how much fish you caught. The people watching would be potential partners, right? Potential partners, investors, whatever you want to call them. And if you lay out a nice stash of fish that you caught, when you go back out, those folks are going to want to go back out with you. And so you might need a bigger boat because you're going to catch bigger fish. So now you did tuna, maybe you go do swordfish or some other swordfish, marlin, whatever you want to call it. Get some of those, bring them back. Lay them out, people see that, go back out, and then maybe you're ready to do some shark or whale hunting, right? But going out and trying to do shark or whale hunting when you don't have the infrastructure to do that is a fool's errand.
So what if you get seasick?
Well, I get seasick every time I go.
Same here.
And there's Dramamine, right? I mean, that's part of it. And yeah. So what I encourage people to do, though, is find out that you're going to get seasick by going out on a smaller boat first, right? If you go out on a smaller boat and you find out you get seasick and you don't want to be in this business, your loss is a whole lot smaller than buying a used BMW or Mercedes.
Right, right. Or just don't drink before you go. Like that's the other. Hey, you know that's true, right? You know. You've seen that happen. Okay, so don't chase Moby Dick on the first deal. Summarizing, listen. Going after that $10, $15, $20 million deal on day one, day 30, day 60, day 90 is frankly what Jerome is saying is a surefire way to potentially get disappointed and lose a lot of steam and lose a lot of that motivation, regardless of what these gurus will say, because when do you really get that deal? It's going to be after you've caught all the fish, all the smaller fish, to then get to the big fish, to get to that whale. And that's what you're really looking for. It's a small step, small step, small step, small step, whale. And it's awesome. So number two, Jerome, in my show notes, we're talking about the lack of diversity in commercial real estate. And this is a really interesting one. Lack of diversity in commercial real estate. Talk to me about that.
I mean, Abby, I love Abby, right? But how many folks like Abby host an amazing show like this one?
I'm the only guy. Like, I'm just saying, I'm the only guy that's not bald yet that's hosting a show like this one. No, I'm totally kidding. But you're right. There is a lack of diversity in commercial real estate, and we've got to fix that somehow. What are some ideas?
I think so. I think for the consumer, the person who's buying tickets, if the speaker lineup is not diverse, I encourage you not to buy a ticket and let the organizer know why you're not buying a ticket. I really do, because this is the point of fact. There are people from all different types of backgrounds who are operating at a very high level in the space. And when add on top of the fact that they're not getting opportunity to share the message, it just continues to further perpetuate negative stereotypes about what wealth is and isn't. And I think it makes the positioning that people need in order to grow their businesses even more difficult. And so I'm encouraging folks and to say, hey, look, there's no diversity. And I started doing it last year. I can't support the conference if there's no diversity. And I want the people who have success stories to stop hiding, right? And share their stories with people so that they can be inspired by them. If you did it the right way, fair and square, there should be no apprehension about telling people what you have going on. In fact, I can tell you that you're holding somebody else back by not sharing your story because they're looking for somebody who has the same story or looks like them. And they're using that as an excuse on why they cannot do it.
Do you think
those are the two things that I think make the biggest difference?
Yeah, I agree, man. Do you think that there's a lot of fear there in sharing those stories? Because maybe you might be thought of differently, or maybe, you know, now that you're a success, or now that you've done one deal or five deals or whatever that package looks like, right? Whatever that story looks like, that automatically you'll be judged as a result of that. Like, that's something that I had to get over, right? I'm like the shortest guy in real estate. It's so obnoxious. And so, like, I'll go to these mastermind groups. I have a picture. I'm going to text it to you after this. Like, I was one of my really good, really dear friends. He sat me at the same table with these two guys that were like 7 feet, like 6 inches tall. Like, they were behemoths of, like, they were not from this planet. Okay. I think he had them shipped in from Jupiter, from like the big red spot. And like, they were here. And so all I'm saying is, it's okay to be yourself, and it's okay to share these stories. And if you're a little fearful of getting there, then I think we should have that discussion, because what Jerome's saying is right, right? Like, if you don't share, you're allowing an external factor to prevent you from helping somebody that needs that inspiration that's in your spot. And I think that's the true message there.
It's absolutely the message. And I was part of the problem, Avi. Like, let me be clear. I was up until 2019, May, you couldn't find a picture of me anywhere. And I built a $20 million business. I had bought a few deals. We were doing all these things. And I thought back to when I was working for a 17,000 person company that had 80 executives and only one of them was African-American. And I think about all the emails and the conversations we'd have where I told him, hey, Craig, I believe that I can be an executive here because you're one. And here I was, not telling anybody about the success we were having in commercial real estate. And how blasphemous was that? Like, just ridiculous. So no, you need to get over yourself. You need to get out of your comfort zone like you did for everything else. And you need to help other people get into the space.
Bingo. There you go. Jerome, you mentioned something really interesting a couple of minutes ago, which was joint ventures and syndications. And I kind of want a little help here, because you mentioned, like, you like joint ventures. You've done syndications, but you like joint ventures more. What's the difference between the two, and why do you like joint ventures a little more? And then we'll wrap up the conversation.
Yeah, man. So I'm getting on the plane. I'm coming to, I think it's Houston. I can't remember where the airport is. I'm coming down there to hang out with you guys, right?
Yep.
And I'm going to walk down the terminal. I'm going to get to the gate. There's going to be somebody there, probably a woman. And I'm going to give her my ticket. She's going to scan it. She's going to let me walk onto the jet bridge. Then I'm going to get on the plane. There's going to be probably a guy waving at me saying, welcome on board. And then I'm going to look at the pilots. They're going to ignore me. And then I'm going to walk to the coach. And I'm going to sit down and coach. And I'm going to put my seatbelt on. And then I'm going to sit there. And I'm going to count on all those people that I just called out to get me from where I am to the place I want to go safely. That's a syndication. Right.
Yeah.
I'm a limited partner in a syndication. I don't have any active role, and all the people I talked about are getting paid to get me from one place to the other. Joint venture, I think about it like a fighter jet, right? I wanted to be a Blue Angels pilot when I was a kid. And if you think about a fighter jet, there's not a bunch of extra seats on those. And so everybody's got an active role, and you don't just get to go for a joyride or a free ride there. And so joint ventures, we have people who are responsible for all of the operations related to the property. And we absolutely want to help those folks get into the space. I think joint ventures allow people to get that experience box checked quicker because they probably have a greater opportunity to own more than 20% of the deal. As a limited partner in a syndication, you won't ever own more than 20% of the deal. And you've got to have something really special in order to be part of a general partnership. What is special? You either need to find the deal or you need to be signing the loan. And if you're not doing either one of those, then you're just putting money in.
Yep. I'm with you. I think it's an interesting play. It also depends on the investing strategy that you have and more specifically your personality, right? Like I'm all in, right? Like Blue Angels, man, I remember growing up, I used to watch them. It was such a treat. And it was like 4th of July, they came through again in the fall. What an inspiration. And so if I want to be hands-on and everybody has an active role, absolutely JV. But, you know, you have some folks that don't want that. So a syndication, that's probably also going to be up your alley. What Jerome prefers is doing JVs because that's his personality. He wants to be active, he wants to have impact, and he wants to have control of the deal. So if you're looking for that kind of support, you're looking for that kind of help, you want to get in touch with Jerome Myers. The best way to do that is MyersMethods.com.
Yes, sir.
That's the website.
That's correct.
Cool. I thought it was going to be IAmTheNewMorpheus.com. What happened to that idea? Didn't we talk about that branding thing for you last time?
No, it was I took the red pill, and then you said you took the red and the blue pill, and it was purple.
I did say that. I was also really stupid in saying that because, like, who would? Anyway, you want to go to MyersMethods.com, check him out. Truly an inspirational story. And you are the quintessential real estate entrepreneurial success. You go from corporate America, dropping out of corporate America, to building this real estate empire. And everybody needs to know that story. And as we talked about, you've done a phenomenal job. And I've been paying attention. You've done a phenomenal job of creating that brand and creating that story and having others in your tribe join it. So congratulations to you, your team, and all the success that you guys have had so far. And I will see you, sir, in Houston, Texas on March 26th and 27th. So that should be a lot of fun.
Looking forward to it, Abhi. I mean, how can you guys not love Abhi? Change the code to I love Abhi.
Right. I'll make that happen for the next one for sure. Absolutely. Jerome, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
See ya. Think Realty Nation, this next segment is brought to you by Marco Santarelli, Narada Real Estate Investments, your premier source for cash flow investment property. Check them out. Go to www.naradarealestate.com. So on thinkrealty.com, there was an article that was written by editorial staff. Can AI help real estate investors buy and sell more property? Listen, let me tell you something. The answer is yes. Yes, 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 and yes. You know why? What does AI ultimately do? I'll let you think about that for a second. AI transforms your business, takes your time and gives it back to you. Essentially, if you're a wholesaler, you're a flipper, you're a property manager, you're a realtor, you're an agent, you are a buy and hold long-term rental, multifamily syndicator, by utilizing AI, you're creating custom processes and technology to help you scale your company and have things happen without your direct involvement. Frankly, that's what it is. You can use automation. You can use a HubSpot CRM, for example. You can use these CRMs and you can tie in different workflows to do things that you would normally have to do yourself manually. So automation is one such way that AI can help you. Number two, virtual assistants. These chatbots are like the real, okay? They are completely legit. You can have something as simple as like a ManyChat Facebook Messenger, and if all you're looking for are leads, you can have this messenger bot on Facebook collect all of the data from people that you are sending to your Facebook page, and now that data becomes yours without you having to do anything for it. So if you have somebody that's on your Facebook page interacting with your Facebook page at 3 o'clock in the morning, you've captured that data. Last but not least, you can assess risk. If you have a homeowner, a distressed homeowner that types in their criteria on your www.imbuyingyourhouseforcashinnashvilletennessee.com site, and they fill out a quick form, within seconds, you can determine whether or not that property actually makes sense for you. So I encourage you to check this out and see how AI can actually benefit your business long-term. Listen, the point of this is to build a business, not build a job. And you'll thank me 20 or 30 years down the line because you actually built a business and you were on your way out of building a job. It's one thing to be in it every single day. And I have a lot of friends that do a lot of deals every single year and they're still in it every single day typing away. And their family hates them, their pets hate them. I mean, they're not living a life. They're doing life at that point. Right? Tony Robbins makes a really good point. You're a human being, you're not a human doing. So by creating a business, by building a business and removing yourself from the inside job, you're putting yourself in a position to win this game of life. So check out the article titled, Can Artificial Intelligence Help Real Estate Investors Buy and Sell More? On thinkrealty.com. So that's a wrap. Now, Think Realty Nation, this entire show is brought to you by the Think Realty Hybrid Conference and Expo in Houston, March 26th through the 27th. Get your tickets online. Go to thinkrealty.com/Houston, and you'll get a buy one, get one deal if you type in the code podcast. So type in the code podcast, you get a buy one, get one free ticket. That's right, two tickets for the price of one. Come out, learn, get mentored, network, and find your potential real estate business partner soulmate. Got any more questions? Find us online at thinkrealty.com. You can find me anywhere online at Avi Golhar. And until next time, happy investing.